Today's here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Vov, and we're going to begin at, in some Gemaras it's by a one dot, 10 lines down from the top of Vov and Aleph. Today we're learning Le'ilui Nishmas, Harvey Schneier, Chaim ben Abba, and also for Herbert Coulter, Tzvi Hirsch ben Yoshua HaKohen. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah. We begin, as I said, 10 lines on the top, Vov Amud Aleph, with a new brisa, Tanu Rabbanan. We're going to be discussing another pasuk. We had a pasuk in yesterday's shiur, which we brought out all of the dinim of Baal Ti'acher, how we see each of the different mitzvos that's involved in Baal Ti'acher. And today we're going to have a similar pasuk. We'll ultimately ask, why do we need two pasukim? And we'll give an explanation for some of them. So, this pasuk is a pasuk found in Dvarim Perachov Gimel Pasuk Chav Dalid. We actually alluded to it in yesterday's Tosos, so we said V'nadarta Nedava, so that was actually from yesterday's Tosos, this pasuk today. So the pasuk in its entirety is Motzos Vasecha Tishmor, that which comes out of your mouth, you should make sure that you should follow. Yosisa Kasher Nadarta L'Hashem Elokecha Nedava Sher Dibarta V'Ficha, you should do what you said that you would donate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that donation you should fulfill, that which you uttered with your mouth. Now, each of these represents a specific new idea. So, Motzos Vasecha, the Braisa tells us, Zu Mitzvah Saseh. This refers to that there's a Mitzvah Saseh to fulfill that which you said. Tishmor, that's a Mitzvah Lo Saseh. Rashi explains for both of them. The first one, Rashi, Motzos Vasecha, Zu Mitzvah Saseh, says the Mistama, Hochi Gomar Kra, Motzos Vasecha Kayem. So that's the Aseh, and the low Aseh part is Tishmor. He says, Lashon of Tishmor, Hishomer, Pen, and Al, he brings down from the Gemara in Menachos, is always a Lashon of a low Aseh. And then the Pasuk continues, and it says, the Asisa, the next word in the Pasuk, you shall do, means Ashar LeBeisdin, Shiyasucha, Beisdin should make you fulfill what you said. As Rashi points out, Al Karcha, against your will, Mikan Ashar LeBeisdin, Lochuf, the Beisdin has the right to go and force you. Now, it's not Yotze in certain situations. If you do it against your will, the Gemara will later on explain that basically will basically force you to say that Rotza Ani, that I do want to do this. Okay. Pasuk continues and it says, the next words are Kasher Nadarta, you should do as you made a neder, Kasher Nadarta. This is a reference to any neder. If you made a neder, you have to fulfill the neder. Lashem Elokecha, that refers to things that are obligatory, which we had previously as well. Eluchatos, Yashamos, Echatos, and Oshim cannot be donated. And the Olos and Shlomim, we said previously, refers to the Olos Re'iyah and the Shalmei Chagiga, which are also not donated. These are obligatory korbanos. Then the Pasuk says, Nedava, this is Kimashmo. It means a voluntary donation offering. Again, the difference between a neder and a Nedava, which the Gemara again will tell us today, is a neder is when you say, Harei Olai, I take upon myself, and a Nedava is you say, Harei Zu, this animal shall be a korban. Pasuk continues says, Asher Dibarta, that which you said. So this is a reference to Elu Kotche Berekabais, all the different types of Kotche Berekabais, all the different donations that we said previously, Hekdeshos, Domim, Erochen. So all of these things are donated to the Beis HaMikdash for non-Korbanos purposes, for Berekabais purposes. So you have to fulfill those as well. And finally, it concludes the Pasuk Beficha. This is a reference to Zut Stalker. These are donations. As Rashi points out, this was an unnecessary word. He says, of course, Picha. How else do you say a statement? So Kroy Yisera, Darish. So this is an extra word, and we dash in this extra word to refer to zut staka, and that is money given to a poor person. So if a person makes a pledge to give money to tztaka, so he has to fulfill it as well. Otherwise, he's over Baal Ti'acher. We'll see here in the Gemara that tztaka is different than all the other Baal Ti'achers. All the other Baal Ti'achers that we just spoke about, their dinim will be according to the five shitos that we said for the regalim. But with tztaka, you have to pay immediately, and we'll see this in the Gemara soon. Now go back and dissect this brisa. Amamar, again, that's a partial dissection. When we say Amamar, we're going to quote part of the brisa. So Amamar, Motzos Vasecha, the first part we said, and you shall do what you said, what comes out of your mouth, you shall do, Zum Mitzvah Saseh. So the Gemara asks, why did you need a pasuk to tell me that? Lomali, I have a different pasuk. We already learned, me, from the pasuk, Uvasa Shama Vavesim Shama. You shall come up to Yerushalayim, and you'll go there. Nafka, that teaches us that you have an obligation to go and bring all of your nedarim. So you have to go and bring your korbanos that you said that you would. So why do I need another pasuk to tell me that I have to fulfill Motzos Vasecha? That's question number one. Question number two, Tishmor. The next we said word was Tishmor, which was, we said, the Lashon of Hishomer, Pen, and Va'al are all Lashonos of a Lo Saseh. Sezum Mitzvah Lo Saseh. Again, the Gemara asked, Lomali, I already had a Lo Saseh. We learned in yesterday's share from the Pasuk, me, from the Pasuk that said, Lo Sa'achel Shalmo Nafka. We learned it out from that Pasuk. So therefore, why do we need another Pasuk to tell me that it's a Lo Saseh? and a third question. We said over here, V'yosisa, the pasuk said the basin can force somebody to go and do what they're supposed to do. So the Gemara says, this is an ashar lebasin shi'asucha, the basin is one, that you better go force people to follow up on their vows. So the Gemara says, lomali, why do we need that? We already learned that as well. Me, from the following pasuk, yakriv oso nafka. The pasuk tells us, if a person said, if a person gave an ola, so he has to go and bring it, al pesach ha-moed, yakriv oso, lirtso no, lifnei Hashem, he has to go and bring it, based and has to go and force it, the Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa, it says yakriv oso, that implies malah mechikofen oso, that we force him to. However, you might have thought, yochol ba-karcho, we could force him even against his will, tamid lomar, the next words in the pasuk, it said, lirtso no, lifnei Hashem. So that means that you can force him. So how do you reconcile the two seemingly contradictory statements in the pasuk that you can force him and that it has to be lirtso no? Okay, it's that. So as I pointed out before, kofen oso achiyomai wrote something. We force him until he says, yes, this is what I want to do. How do you understand this? So the simple way to understand this is that the Yetzirah is only telling you not to do it. Your Yetzirah Tov wants to do it. So we basically force your Yetzirah not to be involved, and therefore his natural inclination to do good will come through. In any event, the first three drushas in this brisa all seem to be unnecessary. We had previous drushas or other drushas that we could use to learn them. So why do we need this pasuk, motzva sasecha, tishmor v'yosisa? They're unnecessary, these three drushas. So Gemara says, no, they're not unnecessary. You actually need each of the other drushas that we brought down, plus these three drushas. Chad, number one, the Omar velo ifrish. We need one of the sets of psukim to teach us for the person that said, I will do this, but he actually didn't separate the actual korban. And you need another one of these two sets of psukim, the chad, where he was afrish, he actually separated the lo akrib, but he didn't bring it as a carbon, utricha. And you need both psukim to tell me that in both of these situations, you're over baal ti acher. Why? Because the yashminon, if you only had one set of psukim, so then I would have said, Omar, if the person said, I'm going to donate this carbon ola, the lo afrish, but he didn't separate out that carbon ola, so I would have said, Mishum de lo kaime le dibure, that's why you're over baal ti acher, because he didn't fulfill what he said he was going to do. So therefore, he's over baal ti acher. Avo ifrish velo akriv, but if the person actually separated it, he just didn't go and actually bring it. So you know what I might have said? If he was afrish velo akriv, no, ema, called the hecha dise, this carbon, he fulfilled his obligation. He said he's bringing it to Hashem. Guess what? Hashem knows everything. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is really everywhere, as the famous song tells us. Bei Gaza de Rachmana Ise. It's in God's possession. Bei Gaza means in the Otzer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, if it's in the Otzer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he fulfilled bringing it to Hashem. So one might have thought that even though he didn't makriv it yet, as long as he was afreshit, maybe the din of Baal Tiachah doesn't apply. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, you need one set of psukim to tell us this scenario, that even if it was afreshit but not akriv it, that it applies. No, why do we need the other set of psukim? Because the yashmin and afrish velo akrib, if you're going to tell me that it applies the din of baal ti acher when he separated it, even though he didn't bring it, because it's in Bei Gaza de Rachmana, it's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's storehouse, I would have said, dekom ma'ashi le'gabe. That's because it's really in his possession still. He hasn't yet brought it as a sacrifice. So he's over baal ti acher because he didn't bring it. However, I might have thought, Aval Omar, if he just said, I'm going to bring this as an ola, below ifrish, but he didn't yet go and bring it, you know what? I would have said, all he did was talk. Talk is cheap. Ema dibura lo klumhu. His saying he's going to bring something that doesn't really get anything accomplished until he actually goes and brings it. And therefore, in this situation, I might have said that he wouldn't be over baal ti acher. Therefore, tzricha. You need that set of psukim as well. So you need the brisa, which brings down motzah, svasecha, tishmor v'yosisa, and then you need all the other drushes that we brought down, basa, shama, vavesim shama, and losa acher l'shamo, and yakriv oso. So you need both sets to teach us both scenarios where he was saying, I'm going to do it, even though he didn't mafresh it, and where he was mafresh it, but he didn't yet bring it. Mara's going to ask on this last statement, really? Umi matzis amris. Are you really going to tell me that if the person said the Omar, he said, I'm going to bring this, the lo afrish, but he didn't actually separate it, that you would have had a habamina, that should not be a din of baal ti acher? V'hadadava ksiva. That is the definition of an adava. The person says, Bessie, this is going to be a carbon shlomim. Bessie, I'm making you into a carbon shlomim. So he says, this is an adava. Bessie is my carbon shlomim. So now, you're going to tell me that that's not including the din of baal ti acher, utnan, we learned in the following Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Kinim, which defines what I just said, the difference between a neder and a nedava. In the Mishnah in Kinim said, utnan, ezo neder, what's the definition of neder, and what's the definition of a nedava? So a neder is, ha-omer hare olai ola. The person says, I obligate myself to bring an ola. So in that situation, he is obligated to bring an Ola. And even if he designates now Bessie to be that Ola, if something happened to Bessie, he has a chrayus to bring a different one. The Mishnah continues and says, "V'ezohi nedava." What's the definition of nedava? When the person says, "Hare Omer, Hare Zu Ola," he says, "Bessie, this cow in front of me, that's going to be an Ola." So therefore, what's the difference between these two? Uma bein neder nedava. As I already mentioned, the difference is whether you're chayv in achrayus or not. By a neder, where you took the obligation upon yourself. So even though you now designated an animal to be that fulfillment of the obligation, you said, I obligate myself to bring an Ola. And then you say, Bessie will be the Ola. And then Bessie dies. So neder, if it's meso nignav, if Bessie dies or Bessie's stolen, so then you still are obligated to bring a different animal. Chayav be'achri yuso. However, if you say Bessie is an Ola, Bessie is a shlomim, so then if Bessie is unfortunately dying or stolen, nedava, and you designate her as a nedava, mesa o nignava, and then she dies or is stolen, you have no obligation to go bring another animal. So what do you clearly see? If a person says, Bessie is going to be my carbon, he wasn't mafrish anything, he didn't do anything, says, Bessie is going to be my carbon, she's going to be in a dava, so you over balt yachar, because we already said many times, both in the previous book and in the pasuk from today, Motzos Vasecha, that if you delay in bringing your nidava, you're chayiv. So how can you have a havamina to say, if you just said the omar, the low ifrish, but you didn't actually go and designate a specific one, that you're not going to be chayv in balt yachar. Here, you just designated Bessie, and that, boom, now you're over balt yachar. So by nedava, you never have omar v'lo ifrish. So the Gemara says, omar rava, no, you could have omar v'lo ifrish in the following scenario. Rava says, mishkachas lo kegon the omar, you could have it in the following scenario where you said, the person took upon himself, he said, the omar, hare olai ola, I accept upon myself to bring a carbon ola, but with the tenai, with the condition that it's only almanas she'eni chayav biachriyusa. I am obligating myself to bring an ola. And as soon as I designate an animal to be an ola, that animal will fulfill my obligation. But then if something happens to that animal, I'm potter. I don't have any additional liability. I don't have any achrayis further. In other words, he's turning his ola into what is the equivalent of an adava rather than an neder. So here's what you could have. The Omar v'lo ifrish. He did say something, but he wasn't mafrish it actually, and this would fulfill this idea of a nedava. So you could have the Omar v'lo ifrish even by nedava. As Rashi points out, he says, kisha afrishena, when I go and designate it, when I do fulfill my obligation to bring an Ola by designating Bessie, lo ischai b'yachuyusa. So new, I now fulfilled what I said I would do, and if something happens to Bessie, I don't have to go back and pick another animal to take its place. Fine, so we reconcile the answer that we had asked, how could you have the Amar v'lo ifrish by a nedava? Fine. Mark continues and says, Beficha, when we brought down the end part of this brisa, it said Beficha is a reference to Tztaka. And Rava comments on this as well. Amar Rava, Utztaka doesn't have the usual rules of Balti Acher. You don't have X number of regalim, the different five shitas that we had regalim. By Tztaka, Mechayev Allah li'alter, by giving Tztaka, by saying you're going to give tzedakah, you're obligated to go and pay to the aniyim right away. Why is that? My taima, dalkaime aniyim, because there are aniyim waiting very much for your tzedakah. And therefore, as soon as they hear that you're saying you're donating to the local Tomchei Shabbos, so they're expecting it. So therefore, you have to go pay immediately. Or it says, pshita, of course. Why would you have thought otherwise? There are aniyim that are shriach. There are aniyim that are right there. So of course you have to go pay back your dedication to pay back what you said you were pledging right away. Well, he says, no, maybe not. Ma'u de tema, I might have thought that since kivon de be'inyana de karbonos ksiva, since this beficha was in a pasuk that was dealing with motzos vasecha, which deals with all sorts of karbonos. So since the be'inyana de karbonos ksiva, it's written in the context of karbonos, so I might have thought that it has the same halachos as a donated karbon, that the person pledged the karbon. That would be, ad de avre, you'd only be over bal tiacher, ad the avri Allah shalosh regolim ke karbanos, that you would only be over for not bringing your karban, not bringing tztaka, as the same rules of not bringing a karban. And therefore, I would have said it's one of the five shitas of the shlosh regolim. Either one regal, a specific one regal, the two regals, or the three regals in the specific order. Rava tells us, kamash malon, no, that's not true. That even though it's listed in the psukim that deal with karbanos, by the Karbanos, it dealt with the Shlosh Regalim, because there isn't somebody other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu waiting for that carbon to be brought. In regards to Tztaka, lo, You can't say the same thing because the poor people here, oh, Yankel, did you hear Yankel pledge $100 to the Kupa of Tzedakah? So, Mirtz Hashem will all have food for tomorrow. So, all the Aniyim are running there. So, you have to go and fulfill your obligation immediately. Lealter. Lealter means immediately. And therefore, the rule is that you should really pay that Tzedakah debt right away. You can't say, well, I'm waiting until three Regalim pass by before I have to pay my money. Amar Rava, another din that Rava tells us is Kivin Sha'avra law of regel echad, as soon as one regel passes, automatically over biaseh. In that situation, you're over an aseh. As Rashi says, this is dealing with karban, a la karban. If one regel passes and you didn't bring your karban, even though there are five different shitos as to when you're over Baal Tiacher, but as soon as one regel passes, Rashi explains, Dechsiv ubasa shama vavesim shama, so in that scenario, you're over by not bringing it as the first chance that you get, you're over the aseh. That said you should bring it right away. The low assay, well, they're different shitas. But for the assay, Rava says you're over immediately. Gemara is going to question Rava. Meisvei seems to be a Mishnah that seems to disagree with you. This Mishnah is found in both Edios and Temura, and it says as follows. Edios is known for all the different testimonies that various Tanoim gave. That's why it's called Edios, the different testimonies of the various Tanoim. And Edios is a very special Masechta. It's known as the Bechir Sheba Masechtos, because since there was a tremendous amount of learning that day, Edios was learned on the day that Rabbi Gamliel was deposed and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi, and they introduced many new people into the Beis Medrash, and there was tremendous pilpul, and therefore Edios was discussed when they went through all of these different sugyos, so the testimony of these great Tanoim is put together in one Masechta known as Edios. So, Hayid, Rabbi Yeshua of Rabbi Pius, so these two great Tanoim, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Pius, they testified, they said that the din is, Al Vlad Shlomim, Sheikariv Shlomim. If you have a Vlad of a Shlomim could be a female animal, and therefore it's possible that it was pregnant, or even after it was designated as a carbon, it became pregnant. As Rashi says, Shehifrish Behemo Moberis, you either designated a pregnant animal, oh, Ibra liachar hikdisha, or somehow it became pregnant after it was already designated to be a carbon. So what do you do with the vlad? What do you do with this fetus inside this mother when it gives birth? So the din is, heyed Rabbi Yeshua of Rabbi Pius, about such a fetus that it is a shlomim, sheyikarev shlomim. And Maisa Shahaya, Amar Rabbi Pius, he said, this once happened. Ani meyed, I also give personal testimony. We had such an example that it was a para that was born from a shlomim. So a mother cow gave birth to a baby cow. And what did we do with the two animal korbanos? Both of them had the kedusha of a korban shlomim. The first one we ate during Pesach. And we ate the child shlomim as a korban shlomim b'chag. On Chag. Now, Chag normally means Sukkos, and that's how the Hava mean it right now, that he's dealing with Sukkos. Now, what happened over here was they missed Shavuos. So why didn't they eat them first on Pesach and then on Shavuos? So here's the question. Bishlama b'Pesach lo'ak rivua. We understand why he didn't eat both of them on Pesach, because there's a simple answer for that. Amor, you could easily say, the Mechusus Man Hava, that the baby was born a day before Pesach, and now they're giving carbon for the first 8 days of life. Carbon has to be brought when the baby animal is at least 8 days old. So the reason why they didn't eat it on Pesach was because Pesach essentially was over by the time they brought the animal. Pesach is 7 days. The animal was born Erev Pesach, and therefore there was no opportunity to go bring the animal on Pesach. It wasn't yet able to be brought. It was Mechusus Man. So therefore, we understand why you can only bring the mother animal on Pesach, and then the baby animal, which was the Shlomim, would be brought on Shavuos. But that's the question. Ella, Vlado Biatzeres, Hechim Ashilo, V'Avri Ale Biasei. According to this, Rabbi Pius is saying that we intentionally didn't bring the animal on Shavuos. We waited to eat it Vlado Shlomim Bechag, which means Sukkos, and therefore he was over in Aseh. How could Rabbi Pius, the great Rabbi Pius, be over in Aseh? That's the Gemara's question. Some Rav Zvid, Mishmei the Rava, so Rav Zvid says the name of Rava. You know, we're talking about Kigon, and we turn to Vavo Midbeis. We're dealing over here with Shahaya Chole Biatzeres. That we're dealing over here with the animal being sick. That's the way the Rashi understands it. The Vlad is sick. The Rebbeinu Chananel, which is found on the previous Amud on Amud Aleph, says, Uparik Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid answered, Kigon Shahaya Habalim Cholim Biatzeres V'lo Olu V'lo Chagigu. That the owners of the animal were sick, and they didn't go up to Yerushalayim. So either way, the animal was either sick, it's improper to go bring an animal that's a chola, it's pasnish to bring such an animal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or that the balim was sick and they couldn't go up to Yerushalayim. So in any event, that's why they didn't bring it on Shavuos. Teretz number one. Rav Ashi Omar, again, it doesn't say Omar Rav Ashi. It says Rav Ashi Omar, so it's a totally separate teretz. It's not necessarily disagreeing with the first teretz. Rav Ashi gives another teretz. He says, when it said that, Rav Papai said that we ate it on Chag, it didn't mean Sukkos. You know what it meant? It meant Shavuos. Ma'ay v'yochalnu v'lado shlomim bechog, that which you said that they ate the child of this mother animal on the Chag, Diktani, it said Chag HaShavuos. It meant when they ate it on the Chag, it meant that they ate it on Shavuos, even though they called the Chag. No, why didn't Rav Zvid Mishmei the Rava give this answer? Why did he give us this other teretz? So the answer is, the reason why Rav Zvid didn't say it, the idach, because kol hecha diktani Pesach, because normally if we use the terminology Pesach, then we don't call Shavuos Chag. We call Shavuos Tani Atzeres. That's the name that we usually use for Shavuos. And therefore, he was uncomfortable saying that they actually ate it on Shavuos. So therefore, he had to come up with a reason that either the animal was sick, like Rashi, or like the Rabbeinu Chanano, the owners were sick and couldn't make it up for Shavuos, and therefore they waited till Sukkos to go and bring the carbon. But you're right, this is not a kasha. Rava had in fact said that you're over or not say if you don't bring it at the first regal that you can. In that situation, you're over, the say over Vasa Shama, Vavesim Shama. Just on this interesting machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Chanano, by the way, Tosafot says just like Rashi, and he gives the explanation that if it's a sick animal or an older animal, Zokain, Chola, Umezuam, or it's a foul-smelling animal, so the Gemara in Tumah said it's improper to bring such an animal. And by the way, the Meiri also holds like the Rabbeinu Chanano that says that it was the owner that were sick. And the Meiri adds, you see from here that the Ein Chayev L'Shalcho Biyat Acher, that there was no obligation for the owner not to be over this assay to send it with somebody else. No, if you can't go, so then there is no assay for you to go and bring it. You don't have a chiv to go send it with a shaliach that will bring it on your behalf. The Turi Evan asks an interesting question. How could they bring it on Yontif? The Turi Evan says, Nadarim and Davos ain't craving b'yontif. So imkain, hechi chuyivu b'yontif shoshvuas. It's a basic question. How could they bring it? So he says they brought it to Shalmi Simcha, and therefore that's why it would have been allowed. So if you already had Shalmi Simcha, so then you wouldn't be allowed to go bring the Darman and Davos. But they had no Shalmi Simcha, so therefore they were allowed to go and bring it. That's what the Turei Evan says. Alternatively, he suggests that they could have shechted it on Erev Yontif, and they're still allowed to go and eat it then on Yontif. Shlomim were able to be eaten for 2 days and the night in between them, and therefore it wouldn't have been a problem. The Aruch Lener suggests that you could have shechted it during the Tashlumin period after Shavuos, and that would have still satisfied the requirement of shechting it on Shavuos. The Pnei Yeshua adds further. He says, "Sha'av sho'yachola b'regolim mechol makom miyaki sho'ama michoyav mechuyav miyad lavio." He says the fact that you were sick on the regal, so that explains why you weren't mechuyav to go bring another regal. But he says the minute the regal is over and you got better, you'd have to go bring it. The whole shaw v'shaw shemisakiv mishaw shavur alav gimu regolim over b'val tiyacher. He says in regards to the din of b'val tiyacher, you would be obligated to bring it even though you were putter because you were sick at that time. Therefore, maybe I would suggest that that same teretz could be said over here, why they didn't bring it on Shavuos, to say that the owners were sick, and that's why it's better to say that the animal was sick. And maybe the animal didn't get better until Sukkos. Finally, the Melo HaRoyim says that one could have also suggested the following teretz. According to the opinion, it says that the father of the animal is included in Oso V'es Beno. The reason why you could have suggested that they didn't bring, or Papayas didn't bring it until Sukkos was because they shechted the mother on Pesach, and therefore there was Oso V'es Beno. And then they shechted the father on Shavuos. So because of Oso V'es Beno, because of the father, they weren't able to shecht the Vlad until Sukkos. Okay, all these are very interesting terutzim. Now let's go back to the Gemara. Now, the Girsa is the Omar Rava. That's what the Masorah Sashah says, because he says another statement unconnected from Rava. So another statement the Rava made is, Kivin Sh'avru Allah Sholosh Regolim, as soon as the three Regolim had passed, B'chol Yom V'yom over B'al Tiachar. Every day they don't go bring the Korban, you get an additional liability, so to say, for not bringing the Korban. So Yom B'al Tiachar, Yom B'al Tiachar, Yom B'al Tiachar, each additional day. You have to bring it right away. As you just brought down from the Pnei Yeshua, even if you were sick, so the Baal Tiachar didn't kick in, but the minute you get better, you have to bring it right away. You don't wait till the next regal. So Gemara says, wait a second, the following Brisa seems to argue with Rava. What does the Brisa say? Meisve, Echad Bechor, the Echad Kol HaKochim, whether it's a Bechor or whether it's any other Korban, Kivin She'avru Aleim Shana below Regolim, as soon as a year passed, even though you didn't have three Regolim. Gemara will ask, obviously, in a question, how could a year pass without having three Regolim? We'll get to that in a second. But the Brisa says that as soon as the year passed, even if the three Regolim didn't pass, or vice versa, if three Regolim passed, Regolim below Shana, without having a year pass, you're over Baal Te'acher. Over Baal Te'acher, but it doesn't say you're over Baal Te'acher every single day. So that's the kasha on Rava. Why didn't the Brisa say that you're over Baal Te'acher every day? Rava seems to be adding on to what the Brisa says. Shmuel says, what's the Tiyufta? V'hai my Tiyufta? Maybe the Brisa is not talking about that. So Amar Rav Kahana, no. In fact, it's a good Tiyufta. Man, the Komosiv, Shaper Komosiv. the question that I brought down was a good question. Michte, the Braisa says, Tana, alade komahader. The Braisa is specifically mentioning the Lavim. So, listen b'chol yom v'yom over b'yalat yachar. So, if it's mentioning the Lavim, it should have said that every day you're over a Lav. And that's the kasha on Rava. Why didn't the Braisa say, like Rava, that every day you're over a Lav? So why didn't Rava say this with Farish? Rava seems to be adding something to the Braisa that the Braisa wasn't saying. V'idach, what would Rava say? Rava would say, the Braisa is not talking about additional Lavin. Tano, the author of this Braisa, L'mikboy b'lav ko mahadir. All he's interested in doing is saying there's a lav about the achar, whether it's three regalim without a year, or it's a year without three regalim. He wasn't interested, however, b'lav yisere lo ko mahadir. He wasn't interested in making the point that, yes, and when you're over it every single day more. And that's what Rava came along to add. By the way, you're also over b'chol yom v'yom b'val ti'acher. Now, Gufa, let's go back and examine this statement. Echod b'chor, the Braisa said, v'echod kol ha-kodoshim, whether it's dealing with the carbon that's a b'chor, or whether it's regular kodshim, so then, kivun sh'avu aleim shana below regolim. You're supposed to bring the b'chor in the first year of life. You're supposed to bring the korbanos before you're over b'al ti'acher. So, kivun sh'avu aleim shana below regolim. If the year passed without having three regolim in it, or regolim, three regolim passed below shana without a year, over b'al ti'acher, then you're over b'al ti'acher. Gemara says, I understand Bishlama very, very well. Regalim below Shana, Mishkachasle. You could have three regalim pass without it being a year. You made the vow a day before Pesach, so then Pesach goes by, Shavuos goes by, and Sukkot goes by. Is it 6 months? A little bit more than 6 months. So that's how you could have the three regalim pass without a year passing. No problem. Very good. Bishlama, regalim below Shana, Mishkachasle. Very easy to understand. Eloshana below regalim. How could you possibly have a full year go by and not have three regalim in it? How could that possibly be? As Tosu says, maybe you want to suggest that in the middle of Pesach he made the neder, and as a result, so now when a year goes by, you don't have a full Pesach going by, you only have half of a Pesach going by. So Tosu says, no, that wouldn't be good enough, because let's say the person made the neder on the third day of Pesach, so then he has the third day of Pesach, the fourth day of Pesach, the fifth day of Pesach, the sixth day of Pesach, and the seventh day of Pesach in this year, and the next year, before the year is up, he'll have the first day of Pesach and the second day of Pesach. So you can combine, Tosu says, the last days of Pesach from year one to, as you're coming around to the start of year two, the other part of Pesach that you didn't already pass. So therefore, you would combine them, and therefore, it's impossible to have a year go by without the three regalim. And that's the Gemara's question. Eloshona below regalim, heche mishkachas. How could you possibly ever have that? So Gemara says, no. Ha nichalaman di yisle kisidron. According to the opinion that we brought down from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, we have this in the Braisa on Dalet Amud Beis, shlosha regalim kisidron. It has to be three of them in order, with the first one being Pesach, then Shavuos, then Sukkos. And if you had either Shavuos first or Sukkos first, then you're going to have either four or five, as we said. So, therefore, according to that opinion, it's easy how you could have a year go by without having the three regalim, because you don't have them kisidron. So, therefore, Honicha l'man d'yomar, that's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, this like kisidron. He was the one sheet that it said you had to have all three of them in the right order. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. So easily, if you made the neder any time after Pesach, so then you're going to have Shavuos come first or Sukkot come first. So if you made it between Pesach and Sukkot, you're not going to have a year pass with all three regalim in the right order going by. No problem. And Tosus points out, you could argue, even for the ones that said it's not three regalim, you could possibly have given the answer for all of them that you could say the balim or the animal was sick. So that's why it wouldn't be over. But Tosus says, we didn't want to give that answer. We want to give the answer that we're going to give. So, Hanicha for Rabbi Shimon, the Islay Kisidron. Very good. Mishkachasla, we can easily see how you could have a year go by without three regalim. But for the others, unless you use the answer that the owners or the animal was sick, Eloman de Leslay Kisidron, according to that, says that you need three. This was the opinion of the Tanakama, who says, you're over about Acher, Kivinch Avru Alein, Shol Shlo Regalim. As soon as three regalim pass, you're over b'al ti'acher, what is he going to say? How could you possibly have three regalim, any three regalim go by, and not be a year? If you're talking about the three regalim in 5781, so as soon as you hit 5782, you definitely pass the three regalim. So Gemara says, no, bishlamo le Rebbe, according to the opinion of Rebbe, this is a machlokus between Rebbe and the Chacham, as to how you count the year. Do you count it as a solar year, or do you count it as a lunar year? So bishlamo le Rebbe, according to Rebbe, you could easily say, because he holds that you go by the solar year. So Mishkachas lo b'shonah me'uberes. If you're going by the solar year, which means after it's 365 days, that's called the year. So if you have a leap year in the Hebrew calendar, in our Jewish calendar, so then it's actually 13 months. It's more than 365 days. So that's how you can have a, quote, solar year go by without having three regalim. So, for example, you made the vow the day after Pesach, and the next year is an Iber year. So like this year. This coming year is an Iber year. We have two months of Adar. So if somebody had made an Eder this year right after Pesach that he was going to bring a Karban in times of the Beis HaMikdash, from Harav Yomeinu, so then after 365 days, you won't yet have hit Pesach again. So therefore, you could have a 365-day year go by, a solar year go by, and because it's a leap year, so there's 13 months in the Hebrew calendar, so therefore, you wouldn't yet reach Pesach. So Bishlomo L'Rebbe, you could easily understand how this could happen. If you have a Hebrew calendar that's a leap year, like this year with another base, and you're dealing with the definition of a year being a solar year, then it would easily be possible for Rebbe that you could have a year, a solar year, go by without having all three regalim, the Tanya. Because this is a brisa that says, Shana Tmima. The Pasuk tells us that it has to be a Shana Tmima. Now, Rebbe defines that as a solar year. Rebbe Omer Moneh Shlosh Meos V'Shishi V'Chamisha Yom. That you count the 365 days of the calendar year. It's really 365 in days and a quarter days, but we leave out always the fraction. So, Kaminyan Mosachama, like a solar year. And therefore, Rebbe would say, it's easily possible for this to happen, as I pointed out. However, V'Chachamim who say, Omer Moneh Shnei Mosar Chodesh Meyom Liyom. It's 12 months, day to day. So, if you made your nether on the 17th day of Tishrei, so then you're going to go until the next 17th day of Tishrei, and that's the same whether it's a 12-month year or a 13-month year. So v'im is shnei masar chodesh miyom liyom, unless it's a leap year, then it's going to be 13 months. V'im nisab rishon and nisab lo, and therefore, in this situation, it's still going to be within the same year because according to that chachamim, you go by the Hebrew calendar, which would mean that it's going to definitely pass all three regalim. So nisabra lo, it in this situation is going to be the extra month is for you, so to say. It's still the same year. So Mishkachas lo Rebbe who uses a solar year, you could easily have that the potential for a solar year in a leap year, a Hebrew year, you wouldn't go through all the three regalim. The Akdash Obasa Chagamatzus, as I already pointed out, if you were Makdish at the day after Pesach, and then you go 365 days later in Iber Yar with his two Chodesh Adar, so Duchimot Shili Adar Basra, when you reach the end of the second month of Adar, that's when the 365 days end. Shana Maya, and yet, regalim Lamolu, you didn't reach yet Pesach. You just had Shavuos, and you just had Sukkot. So, no problem. Rebbe is good. El Rabbanan, who say that whether it's a 12-month year or a 13-month year, you go day to day. So, if you made the vow the day after Pesach, so it's going to go into effect 13 months later, till the day after Pesach, even if it's an Iber year. So, El Rabbanan, Hechimishkachas, how could you ever possibly have a year go by and not have the three regalim? So the Gemara answers, this is the continuation of the Braisa, Kedetani Rav Shmaya. Rav Shmaya, in the Braisa that we had brought down previously, now added on the following. And he said, Atzeres, the holiday of Shavuos, Palmim Chamisha, can be sometimes on the fifth day of the month of Sivan, Palmim Shisha, sometimes it can be on the sixth day of the month of Sivan, and Palmim Shivan, sometimes it can be on the seventh day of the month of Sivan. Now this was when they were doing it by Re'ia, when they were doing it by the witnesses coming. So sometimes you could have it on the 5th, sometimes on the 6th, sometimes on the 7th day of Sivan. How is that possible? Hoketzad. So for example, Shnehem Mileim, if the month of Nisan was a full month, it had 30 days, and the month of Iyar was full, it had 30 days, so then 49 days after Pesach is going to have an extra day of Nisan, an extra day of Iyar, so 49 days after Pesach is going to be the 5th of Sivan. So Shnehem Mileim, if both Nisan and Iyar are 30-day months, so you're going to have Shavuos coming out on the 5th of Sivan. If both of them, Shneim Chaserim, if both of them are only 29-day months, so then Shavuos is going to be later, and Shavuos is going to come out on the 7th day of Sivan, Shneim Chaserim Shiva. And if one of them, Echod Malei, the Echod Chaser, which is how our calendar is actually structured, so if Echod is Malei, the Echod is Chaser, so then Shisha. It's always going to be on the 6th of Sivan, whether it was Nisan that was Malei and Iyar that was Chaser, or the other way around, Nisan that was Chaser and Iyar was Malei. In this situation, Shavuos is going to come out on the 6th. So according to Rav Shmaya, what happened? The person made his neder on the 6th day of Sivan in a year that Shavuos came out on Hay. So the year that he made his neder, it was after Shavuos, on the 6th day of Sivan. But the next year, they made both Nisan Choser and Iyar Chaser, so Shavuos comes out on the 7th day of Nisan. But 1 year from 6th of Sivan to 6th of Sivan didn't include Shavuos. So Rav Shmaya would tell us this is how you could possibly have it, even according to the Chachamim, that you could have a lunar year go by, 6th of Sivan to 6th of Sivan, but in the first year, Shavuos was on the 5th of Sivan, so Sivan didn't pass, and in the next year, it's on the 7th of Sivan, so Sivan didn't occur yet. And that's how you could make an edder on the 6th of Sivan, post Shavuos, and not have it go through Shavuos the next year on the 6th of Sivan, because Shavuos is on the 7th of Sivan. And that could only happen, of course, when you made Nisan and Iyar both Mole in the previous year, so Shavuos was on the 5th day of Sivan, and then it was both Chaser in the next year, so Shavuos would be on the 7th day of Sivan. It's a little bit complicated. I hope everybody was able to follow that. So that's Rav Shmaya's opinion. The Gemara says, Uman Tana de Poligalei de Rav Shmaya, the Tana that disagrees with Rav Shmaya, who is that? So Rashi explains, this is the Tana Kama, this Brisa. De lo ayir b'shana below regolim. He said it's impossible to have a year go by without regolim. So what was he thinking? Whose opinion is this? This is the Acherim. This is usually Rav Meir, as we said, Acherim hi. So the Tanya, because it says in the Brisa, Acherim omrim, the Brisa says, they argue with Rav Shmaya. The Acherim say, Ein bein atzeres liatzeres, ein bein Rosh Hashanah l'Rosh Hashanah, el arborim yomim bilvad. A Hebrew year has 354 days. That is 12 months, 29, 6 months, and 30 days, the other 6 months. If you add that up, it's going to be 354 days. And therefore, 350 days would be perfectly divisible by 7. There would be 50 weeks. So the other 4 days, there's going to be whatever Shavuos was this year, next year it's going to be 4 days later. So Shavuos is this year on a Sunday, so next year will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It will be on a Thursday. And the same thing with Rosh Hashanah. If Rosh Hashanah is this year is on a Shabbos, so next year it's going to be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It will be 4 days later. El Arba'a, Arba'a, Yom Buvad. And if it's a leap year, so then you have an extra month that's going to have 29 days, so there will be one extra day. 28 is divisible by 7, so the one extra day will push everything back one day. So this is the opinion of the Acherim that disagrees, that we could have 2 months of Nisan and Iyar being both Mali or both Chaser. They say no, every year has 354 days. Leap year will have an extra 29 days above that, meaning one extra day that's not in a full week, and therefore that's inviolate. And therefore you can't have, and this is the way our calendar is structured, you can't have both Nisan and Iyar being both Mole or both Chaser. We always have that Nisan is Mole, and we always have that Iyar is Chaser. That's the way our calendar is set up. The only months that we can sometimes have some leeway with are Cheshvan and Kislev. Fine, that solves all the problems, but the Gemara has another question. By Rav Zeira has the following Shaila. Yoresh, a person who inherits a korban. Nebuch, the person's father, passed away, and the father had either put aside money or had an obligation to go bring korbanos. So, Yoresh, mahu bevalti acher. Is the Yorish, if he doesn't fulfill the obligation to bring those korbanos, is he also over Balti Acher? What's the Shaila? Do we say, Kisi Dor Neder, that the obligation of Balti Acher is totally upon the Pasuk telling us, Kisi Dor Neder, Omer Achmona, the Torah tells us, it's only if a person made a Neder, and this son didn't make the Neder, Behol Lo Neder, his father made the Neder, so only the one who made the Neder could be over Balti Acher. Or do we say, no, alternatively, Old Yoma, no. Uvaso Shoma Vavesim Shoma. You have an obligation to go come to Yerushalayim and bring the carbon with you. What difference does it make? Who originally made the nether? It's now your responsibility, Bahom Chayev, and therefore you're Chayev to go and do so. So that's the question that Rav Zeira asked. What's the answer? Where it says, I bring you right for the following price. Toshma. Rav Chiya specifically stated that Tani Rav Chiya may imoch. The Pasuk says, only if you make the nether. Prat liyoresh, the person who yarshins you, if they don't fulfill the obligation to bring the korban within the shita of Baal Tiacher, it would be over otherwise Baal Tiacher, but as a yoresh, there is no din of Baal Tiacher. Mor says, wait a second, how can you tell me it's based upon this pasuk meimach? We needed the word meimach to teach us why meimach, miboyele, to teach us, we had this in yesterday's shir, said leket shichra peya. That's to teach us that the din of leket shichra peya also have a din of Baal Tiacher applicable to them. So how can you tell me meimach is to teach us this din of prat liyoresh? How can it teach us two dinim? A pasuk can only teach us one din. So Mor says, you're 100% right, except here you have the word imach and meimach. So you're right. If you only had the word imach, you'd only have one. But kari be imach or kari be meimach. So therefore, you have room for two drushes over here. So imach would teach us leket shichon peya, and when it adds the extra man meimach, that's enough to tell us prat liyoresh. Another kasha. Boy Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira has the following kasha. What about a woman? Isha. Do we say a woman is obligated in Bal Tiachar or not? Mahi beval tiachar. Do we say, again, the two sides of the coin are as follows. Mi amrinim, do we say, ha lo mechaiva b'riya. A woman is not obligated in the mitzvah of riya. She has no obligation to go up to the Beis HaMikdash on the Yomim Tovim. And therefore, anybody who's not obligated in riya is not obligated in din of bal tiachar. Or do we say, no, odilma ha isa b'simcha. A woman is obligated in the mitzvah of isamachta b'chagecha. And therefore, while she may not be obligated in an oles riya, nevertheless, she is obligated in simcha. So therefore, we should include her in the din of bal tiachar. That's the question that Rav Zeira asked over here. Amar Rav Abaye, Abaye said to Rav Zeira, why don't you just say simply, v'tei b'klei, da isa b'simcha. The answer is simple, that she is in fact obligated in simcha, and therefore she would be obligated in the din of bal tiachar. If she didn't bring the carbon in the proper time, she would be over bal tiachar. More questions. Is it really? Abaye holds that the woman is obligated in simcha? Umiyar Abaye hochi. Did he really say this? After all, farmer Abaye, Isha Bala Mesamcha, Abaye's shita is that the woman has no independent mitzvah of simcha. There's an obligation on her husband to make her happy. Rashi points out that in Babel, the custom was to buy her bigodim tzivonim, they would buy her colored garments, and there's as well, they would buy bechli pishton hamuguhatsa, they would buy her fancy linen garments. And Tosus adds over here, the kashal rebeinu tam, the hani mila bizman hazeh, that's nowadays, that the woman has the obligation with the clothing, husband has to give her clothing. I was born shebeis hamidrash kayam ein simcha lo basar. So the simcha was with basar. So wouldn't the woman have to go up then in the times of beis hamidrash to eat basar meat? So Tosu says no. Umafar shebeinu tam bala misamcha shachiv al bala v'lo aleha. Even that situation, the chiv is on the baal to go and bring her korbanos, and therefore lefichach lo karina ba. And therefore, there is no obligation technically for a woman to go there. Her husband should bring her there, but technically the woman has no obligation. So therefore, Abaye's shita is that the Baal is obligated in simcha, and the woman technically is not obligated in simcha. The husband has an obligation to be misamechas wife, but technically there's no chiyah for the woman to be misamechas. So therefore, how could Abaye say, that the woman is included in the din of simcha? So Gemara says, no. Abaye actually doesn't hold that the woman is. But he says, you, Rav Zeira, you hold that the woman is obligated in simcha. According to you, Lidvarav, the Rabbi Zeira, Kamar. Abaye was saying, according to Rabbi Zeira, I know that you hold that the woman is obligated in the midst of simcha, so that should be enough to obligate her in the din of Baal Ti'achar. Finally, Gemara concludes with the following shaila. Ibarluhu, they ask the following shaila in Beis Medish. Bechor, when you're looking at an animal that's a firstborn animal and it's supposed to be a carbon, when do you count the year? That if you were to pass that year, you're not makayim the mitzvah of bringing the bechor in the first year of its life. So there's two possibilities, from the day that it's born or from the day that it's roi to be brought as a carbon, which is day 8 of life, because until then you're concerned that maybe it won't survive. So as Rashi points out, just like by a person we say it's 30 days, by an animal we say it's 8 days. So Abaye, Omar, Abaye gives us the teretz. He says, Mishor Shinola. He says, you go from the day of birth. Whereas Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omar Mishor Shenira Lahartzah, from the day they can be first brought as a carbon, which is day 8 of life. Now, v'lo pli, neither Abaye, who says it's from the day of birth, nor Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who says it's from the day of 8 days of life, the day it's able to be brought as a carbon, neither one is arguing with the other one, v'lo pli, because they're each talking about a different scenario. Rav Acha bar Yaakov is talking about when the animal doesn't have a mum, and therefore, ha bitam, so the animal cannot be brought as a carbon before day 8, so therefore you only start the calendar, you start the clock from day 8. And then if you don't bring it within a year from day 8, so then you're not makayim the mitzvah, bringing the Bukhar in the first year. We turn to Zayin Amud Aleph, whereas Abaye's opinion is that we're dealing here with the Baal Mum. And the Baal Mum also has to be brought as, not as a carbon, but it has to be eaten within the first year of its life. But here, since it had a Mum, so therefore you don't have to wait till day 8, you're allowed to go and shecht it on day 1, and therefore you start the count, you start the clock from day 1. Mor says, but that's not true. Ba'mum, mi motzi ochale, even a ba'mum, you're not allowed to go eat it on day 1. As Rashi says, shenolai b'mumo, if it was born with a mum, ba'omei l'shachet b'chutz, and it's not allowed to be shechted as a carbon, so you shecht it as a barbecue, you shecht it as private meat, and therefore you might think that you're allowed to go and shecht it, but in the next Rashi says, mi motzi ochale, who says you're allowed to eat it? B'yom shenolai. Dilma neifel haba, b'ein shechita b'tairoso, and it's considered like a neifel, and the shechita will not be metarit. You have to wait 8 days. Even though you're not bringing it as a carbon, you have to wait 8 days to take it out of the status of being a nafel. So the Gemara answers, no. This din that Rashi said that you're allowed to eat it when it's born with a bum on the first day of life, and therefore you start the count, start the clock from the first day of life, is the Kimle Bay Shekalu Lo Chadoshav. We're certain that it's not an aphel. If you are certain this animal was a term animal, it reached full term when it was born, and therefore there is no consideration that maybe it's a premature animal, and therefore it's a miscarriage, even though it's not yet dead, it will die in a couple of days, and therefore it's not really going to be matar with the shechita. You can't shecht an animal that is an aphel, so therefore, if you're certain that it's a full-term baby animal, so then you would be allowed to go and shecht it day one. So therefore, Rav Acha bar Yaakov and Abaya are not, in fact, arguing with each other. There's a great break point over here. We'll stop the share for here today.